Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Christ is risen. That's right, he's still risen. It's five Sundays after Easter, but that's still our driving force in the liturgical season, is the recognition of the fact that Jesus is risen. And in this liturgical season, modeled after the actual events of 2,000 years ago, he's actually still with us. As Acts tells us, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering, by many proofs appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. This would be day 36, in case you're not counting. And that's fine. The disciples probably weren't counting either. They were just taking it day by day, celebrating, if not a little confused still, maybe grappling with the reality and the ramifications of Jesus' resurrection, learning about the kingdom of God, as Acts tells us. We're not sure what all Jesus was telling the disciples over this span of 40 days, but it's likely that a good bit of it was just reminding them what he had already taught them during his ministry, and which by now they had probably forgotten or could only now fully understand in the light of his resurrection. And so that's what we've been doing too post-Easter, is reminding ourselves what Jesus taught, who Jesus is, now that we're on this side of his resurrection. The gospel readings of the last two Sundays have been from this same chapter, John chapter 16. And this is in the context of the night that Jesus was betrayed. It's him instructing his disciples what's going to happen. And this week included, we've been going through this chapter, reminding ourselves what Jesus was telling them. And he was kind of talking about his death and his resurrection and his ascension and his sending of the Holy Spirit, none of which the disciples had any idea about. They didn't know what he was really talking about, but he was preparing them, and now that he is risen, he's reminding them what he had said, and so hopefully for them and for us, things are starting to click. So today's gospel finishes that chapter, chapter 16 in St. John's gospel, and even though the disciples at one point think that they understood, finally, now we know what you're saying, they probably still wouldn't have known everything that he was signifying. Jesus in this chapter has been telling the disciples that he must go away from them. And they were distressed at this, and they didn't understand where he meant to go or why. But then he promised them, even though he was going away, and this would mean sorrow and anguish for them, their anguish would turn back to joy when they saw him again. He said that he would not be seen for a little while, but then he would be seen again. He also said that his leaving meant the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and so it was actually profitable for them that he goes away in order to send Spirit. So he was indicating both the events of his death slash resurrection and also the events of his ascension slash sending of the Holy Spirit. The disciples wouldn't have conceived of either of those at the time. We, however, can profitably read these passages and understand them now both in the light of Easter and also in expectation of the upcoming Feast of Ascension this Thursday. We know why he says it's to their advantage that he goes in order to send the Spirit, and we also know why they would sorrow for a little while when they didn't see him, but then would rejoice again when they did. We know what Jesus was talking about. But then he says something else. We come to this curious consequence of his resurrection that he promises to the disciples, which may not be quite as clear to us. Jesus says that on the day that they see him again and rejoice, that is, after once he is risen, they could ask the Father in heaven anything in his name, and it would be given to them. Until now, they hadn't asked the Father anything in Jesus' name because they didn't know to. But once they saw the power of Jesus, Son of the Father, to overcome death, they would learn to ask the Father things in his name. And it's not that Jesus, he says, it's not that I will speak to the Father on your behalf. Jesus doesn't... Jesus' role is not to be an intercessor, someone to pray to the Father along with us. That's what our brothers and sisters hear. That's what the saints and the Holy Virgin Mary, the Lady Theotokos, do. They are our intercessors. But Jesus is our mediator. He joins us to the Father. He is our link. So he doesn't pray to the Father for us. He joins us to the Father so that we can pray to the Father ourselves. And, of course, we would never dream of praying to the Father in anyone else's name. But now, after Easter, the disciples learned and so taught us to pray in Jesus' name. But that still leaves us with that odd guarantee that he gives us, that whatever we ask for in his name would be given. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. This kind of seems like a dangerous thing to promise, if not most obviously, because it's so potentially falsifiable, right? All that we have to do to test this assertion is to pray for something. Say, I'm going to pray that if I buy a lottery ticket, whatever the winnings are, I'll give it to the church, right? And I'll pray this in Jesus' name, and I'll see if it happens. And so that seems like the test to see if Jesus is right about this. But if it doesn't happen and I lose 10 or 20 bucks or whatever on a losing ticket, have I made Jesus a liar? Of course I haven't. I've only proven myself to have sorely misunderstood what Jesus meant by this, and probably that I'm also both selfish and a little dense. So prayer is not magic, right? Praying in Jesus' name is not an incantation. We don't presume to manipulate the power and promises of God to control the world around us. All prayer, even petitionary prayer, is communion with God at its core. And it's God whose uncreated will and power actually create and sustain all things. And our very contingent, derivative wills and powers are given to us by God to do with as we direct. Now, we can misuse those wills and powers, but the purpose of the gift of a free will and power, limited as it is, to exercise our free will, is to learn how to use those wills and powers, to sharpen and perfect them by imitating God, now revealed in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, that uncreated divine will and power is joined to our derivative created wills and powers. So, what I'm saying is to pray in Jesus' name is merely the effort of uniting our wills to God's will, to Christ's will, so that our power of prayer is manifested in God's power of action. This is what it truly means to ask something in Jesus' name, being united with Jesus' will. And when the Father who knows and loves his Son sees us united in love with the will of the Son, whose own will is that of the Father's, he gives us what is already in his goodness, will, and mercy to give. I mentioned that today is called Rogation Sunday. In the final days leading up to the Feast of Ascension, we give a special time of asking the Father in Jesus' name for his blessings on the world and the vital things that we gain from it: food, water, medicine, shelter, and the economic stability based on these things. This is a tradition going back to the 5th century in which a small town was rescued after a lot of natural disasters when everyone rallied and the archbishop gave them some prayers and litanies to pray as they processed around their crops, their fields. Miraculously, their crops yielded, and this tradition of praying these litanies and processing around fields and asking God's blessing spread quickly over Europe and into the British Isles. It was a popular and natural and intuitive thing to do when we're, you know, so dependent on our crops to survive, at least in an agricultural society. And even now, we're still dependent on the goodness of the earth. So this asking of God to bless the world is called Rogation Tide, or the season of the Rogation, and comes from the Latin word rogare, meaning to ask. So asking God to bless us with food, water, medicine, shelter, and everything, these are good things to ask for, and these do seem to match the will of Christ, right? Who provided food for the hungry, he calmed rough weather for the distressed, he bestowed health on the infirm. But then we come to the reality that not every hungry person in the world has received food before starving, and not every sailor has survived storms at sea, and not every sick person has recovered from their sickness. There have been Christians in all those places asking the Father, in Jesus' name, to reverse these situations, to have mercy. And as difficult as it is to understand here and now, God does always have mercy, even if he doesn't reverse the situation. Even such one as the Apostle Paul, who saw visions of the kingdom of heaven too great and beautiful to tell, prayed not once, not twice, but three times that God would take away this trial from his life. Probably, to be sure, in Jesus' name he was praying. But then the answer came back from God, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." As a kid, I was given the example of a traffic light and its red, yellow, and green lights as sort of an image of the possible answers we could receive from God when we ask for things. A green light would be a yes, a prayer answered in the affirmative. A yellow light would be not yet, not yet. And a red light would be a no, right? And the point was always, God never doesn't answer your prayers. It's just that these are the different answers that you might get. But note this, the answer that St. Paul got when he prayed to have the thorn removed wasn't a red light. It was a yellow light, a not yet. Because the thorn in his flesh was removed when his body was removed. And it won't be back, except maybe in glorified form, in the resurrection. A red light, though, is simply indicates that we have asked wrongly, that maybe we haven't truly met God in communion to ask, or that the thing that we're asking for isn't in accordance with the will of God. It's not the right kind of thing to ask for. Our will isn't united with Christ perfectly, and so what we ask for is the wrong sort of thing. St. Basil the Great tells us, "Never be discouraged, so that when you pray and do not receive the answer to your prayer, you should not cease from praying till you do receive it, provided that you ask for what God wishes you to ask." So if you do not ask what God wishes you to ask for, if you pray in Jesus' name in words only and not in your will united to his, then you have a red light. You have a no. And hopefully you'll have someone more saintly than yourself who can properly see your poor prayer and tell you. But if your request is good, as St. Basil says, if a month goes by, or a year, or 3 years, or 4 years, or many years, do not give up praying till you receive what you ask for. But ask on in faith, and be at the same time steadfast in doing good. Standing then in God's presence in a manner truly worthy, and laying before him all the desires of your heart, cease not to pray till you receive what you ask for. So in this world, whatever we ask for, when we are truly united with Christ in will, intent, and devotion, the Father who gives good gifts will give us what we ask for. Even Jesus, in whose name we pray, petitioned his Father in the garden with the clause, "If it be possible, nevertheless not my will, but your will be done." It's not good for our souls that all cups should pass from us. Sometimes we have to drink bitter cups, but we will never drink anything stronger or more bitter than the cup received by him who now gives us strength. His final words to us today in the gospel are, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So we have been told as Christians to ask rogare. Do not lose heart if you do not speedily obtain your request, St. Basil says. By this also we show our faith and our love of God, since though we do not quickly receive what we ask for, yet we remain steadfast in praising him and giving thanks. Let us give thanks at all times so that we may be found worthy of receiving his everlasting gifts, since to him all praise and glory is due forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.